I am.
All right. Well, I want to welcome you by way of the internet tonight. Thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you here with us. And I really pray that not only those of us in here are growing and gaining wisdom from your word, but that you would be gaining and growing in your wisdom as well. So tonight we want to back up. We are on the verge of closing out this Bible study. We're very close, but we're going to kind of shift gears. I want to just back up and talk just a little bit tonight about when we receive the spiritual gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to move on into sharing our faith. Amen? How many of you know that's not just a good idea? It's not just a good idea that we share our faith. It is a mandate from God. It's a command. He said in the end of Matthew, He said, "Go ye." Amen? And so, in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Listen, we need the Holy Spirit. In the day and age that we live in today, church, we need. Listen, we can't live without the Holy Spirit. In these words, Jesus is revealing the heart of God the Father. God is not selfish. God is not begrudging. And He certainly is not stingy. As His followers, we don't have to beg. We don't have to grovel when we come to God with our requests. In fact, I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, where He says there that we may come boldly to the throne of grace. When you come boldly, can I just tell you, you're not begging, you're not groveling, you're not whiny and whimpering when you come boldly before the Father. Amen? I mean, you're coming in there with your head held high because, you know, there's no other place for you to go at this point. I've done everything. Because how many of you know 9 times out of 10, we exhaust every other option before we go to God? Isn't that something? We go through everything else, and then when nothing else works, we're like, better go to God. Better pray about this. Hello? We need to be praying first. I think the very number one reason why we don't see more miracles in our life is because we don't give God the opportunity to perform a miracle. We try and take care of it ourselves. He's a loving Father, and He understands us, and He cares for us, and He comforts us, and He willingly gives us the Holy Spirit if we will just ask Him. So because the Holy Spirit is God's highest gift, He will not refuse giving the Holy Spirit to those who ask. As believers, we can trust in the provision of God for all of our lesser needs as well. Amen? I mean, I've prayed for some things that seem pretty minute. And I've seen God answer. And we've prayed for some pretty big things, and we've seen God answer. He wants to give us good gifts. He wants to bless us. So how much better the perfect Heavenly Father treats us as His children? Listen, He loves us. The most important gift that He ever give is the Holy Spirit. He promised to give all believers after His death the Holy Spirit, after His resurrection and He's returned to heaven. He said, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm going to send to you the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Counselor. I tell you, we have to get a hold of this. We have to get a hold of this. And we have to walk in the power and the authority that we possess as His child. Amen? Christ didn't die. Well, let's see. I need the right pages. Yeah, well, all I got to do is find it. Did somebody steal my... What was that? It ain't your mother. It ain't your mother. And not your mama. It's the one glowing over there, crimson red. It's that one. It is a happy place in here tonight. And I figure as long as they're laughing at me, they're leaving everybody else alone. I don't need any help from that section back there, okay? So we're talking about what in the world is going on? I mean, I'm getting it from people that don't normally say anything, and they're hacking on me. Oh, what are we talking about anyhow? Well, we're talking about sharing our faith. Mike, would you like to come up and share your faith? I'm doing great, right? Listen.
That way you know you're loved.
I know it. And I do know I'm loved, and I'm grateful for that. Hallelujah. So according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it talks about something that must... Don't put that up there yet. There, yeah. I'll cue you, because now they got the answer. I bet you were a teacher's pet, weren't you, in school? Exactly. According to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, what must happen in our personal lives before we're ready to share our faith? There's a process. There are things that need to happen in our own life, in our personal life, that really before we are really ready to share our faith. What do you suppose that might be? I gave you the scripture reference. Pardon me? I'm looking for some words. Yep. We've got to sanctify the Lord in our heart. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Look at what it says here in this verse of scripture. It says, but sanctify... Well, what is sanctify? Pardon me?
Separate.
We are to sanctify, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But that fear isn't the scared kind of fear. It's talking about reverence and honoring. We're going to get into that actually in a little bit. So instead of being afraid of people, how many of you are afraid of people? to some degree, the number one cure for being afraid of people is running a bus ministry. Anybody ever been involved in bus ministry? Yeah, yeah. Driving a school bus, it's kind of a prefigured idea that they're going to come get on the bus. But when you're running a bus ministry for the church, on Saturdays, what we used to do here in Myrtle Creek is we would meet at the church and then we would all get in the bus, and I drove the bus. Me and Scott Young drove the bus, and we would go around. We had an actual bus route that we went around, and we would get out, me and Larry Goodman and Tammy Goodman and Mike and Kathy and all these different people, Tammy, and we would go and knock on doors. Hey, Johnny. We're just coming by to check on you and see how you're doing and make sure you're going to be ready to go tomorrow morning when the bus comes by at about 8 o'clock. Are you going to be ready? Do you want to come to Children's Church? Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll see you in the morning. Well, when you knock on that door, can I tell you, you don't have any idea what could be behind that door. Because I have been surprised. We would take them. I tell you what. It is spreading. We would bring them to the church, and while we were out gathering kids up, we had a group of grandmas that were in the church in the kitchen area, and they were making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which was probably, in a lot of cases, the best meal that that child had all week. But it was scary to go and knock on those doors for the first time. It's a fearful kind of a thing. But once you get started doing it, and once you begin to see what happens in those children's lives, all of a sudden it takes the fear out of it. So instead of being afraid of people, as believers, we are to focus on Christ Himself. And when we went and knocked on doors, all of a sudden the focus came off of what's going to greet me from behind the door, whether it's going to be a ferocious, barking dog, and you're just praying in the Holy Ghost that He don't tear your throat out, right? Your fear, all of a sudden, your focus becomes on Christ, because I'm going to get these little children in the bus and take them to church, and we're going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And it's a great thing. So this word, sanctify, is also translated to reverence Christ as Lord, or sanctify the Lord Christ in your heart. So the heart, what is the heart? Somebody tell me in a biblical sense what the heart is. Pardon me? The core? That's good. What else can you think of? It's the life, yeah. Our life flows out of it. The heart is considered the place of deep emotion. It's where everything comes from. The truth is, it's where fear would dwell. Fear would dwell in the heart, right? So Peter wanted the believers to replace fear with faith and with reverence. Amen? That's a powerful thing when you begin to think about fear being replaced by faith. Right? Fear cancels faith. Or I would rather say faith cancels fear. Because look, if Peter would have allowed fear to rule the day, how many of you know Peter would never have gotten out of the boat? Okay? Because in Sunday school, when we read the story of Peter walking on the water, oftentimes the story comes across as they were out on the lake in the boat, and the Lord was walking across the water, and he said to Peter to get out of the boat, and Peter just got out of the boat and just walked to Jesus and blah, and it's just a great story. But that ain't the truth. You study that out and you'll find that there's a word in there that says that the sea, the lake, was boisterous. And when you look up the word boisterous, it means it was violent. It was violent. There were waves. The boat was getting battered and bashed from side to side. I mean, it was up and down. It was crazy. And Peter had to make the decision by faith in disregard for fear. Because, listen, they were afraid in the boat. But faith superseded the fear, and Peter got out of the boat. Yeah, well, he sank. Yes, he did. But he got out of the boat. And why did he sink? He sank because he took his eyes off of Jesus. His focus, the fear came because his focus came off of Christ. Every time. So, it's why Peter has literally the authority to want for us as believers to replace fear with faith and with reverence. And so, by acknowledging Christ as Lord and Savior, they would recognize His holiness and be able to rest in Him. I mean, there's so many songs, Sheltered in the Arms of God, and you know, just, you know, It Is Well with My Soul, all these different kinds of songs that talk about being able to rest in Him. Can I tell you that when we rest in Christ, there can be no room for fear in our hearts? There's just no room. So, let me talk about me for a minute. Because there are things that I'm fearful of, that I'm about to step out into, that causes or would like to cause fear and trepidation to come to overcome my life. But I have to come to the place where I realize that it's not about me. It's God's the one that's in control, right? And so I have to trust Him in all of this. And so when I can see myself transform from this fear and trepidation. See, I'm trying to say big words, and it doesn't work good for me. But with fear and trepidation, because I've always, 99% of the time, I've been our provider. I mean, obviously the Lord's given me the... I'm not saying that God's not... But soon and very soon, the Lord's going to be providing for me in a very real sense. And so I have to keep my focus on Christ and why all this is taking place. So there can't be... I don't want for there to be any room in my heart for fear. And it alludes to words from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13 where he says, "But the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." Listen, when we're leaning on the everlasting arms of God, there ain't nobody, no thing, no nothing that we should be afraid of. Because I am sheltered in the arms of God. He is my strong tower, the Bible says. I can run unto Him and be safe. He is the solid rock. He is the firm foundation. So when we as believers have set Christ, set apart Christ as Lord and regard Him as holy and we reverence Him in our hearts, we know that He's in control of events and that He is the reigning King and that all powers and all authority ultimately must answer to Him. Those things that we go through had to go through Christ to get to us. Amen? So just understand, when you're going through something, God has already seen you in this thing. And He's already brought you through it. Your wreck, He already saw it. He already knew that you were going to be up here in Myrtle Creek. He knew that. None of these things catch us off guard. Nothing catches God off guard. So, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about really what it means to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. When Samuel was sent by God to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint one of his sons, the king, what happened there that day? First thing, the natural thing, that this proud papa, Jesse, did was he got his best boy. Come here. Well, he comes right in here and he's like, no, that's not him. I said, Mommy, that's the one, right? Nope, not him. All of the brothers come through. Nope, that one's not him. That one's not him. That one's not him. Don't you have any more? Well, yeah, we got one more. The youngest. The runt. He's out tending sheep. Samuel says, go get him. We'll wait. We'll wait. And David came in, and Samuel said, the Lord's anointed is before us. Sanctify him. Sanctify him. Set him apart. Set him apart. He's going to be the king. Sanctification is used of a separation to God. When we are sanctified, we are set apart unto God. We're not just set apart, we're set apart to God. And so, sanctification is a separation to God, and it's also the course of life befitting those who are in fact separated. We in other words, what I'm saying is, sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter by faith in Christ Jesus, and to which our sole title is the death of Christ. I mean, I've got titles to my Jeep, I got a title to my pickup, I got titles to my motorcycle, I got titles to all kinds of stuff. My title to the kingdom is the death certificate, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Because it's through His death, burial, and resurrection that I have been sanctified, set apart to live my life. Sanctification is also used in the New Testament of the separation of believers from evil things and evil ways. Can I tell you something? What's happening on Friday nights in the men's deal is there we are being sanctified. We're already sanctified to Christ. That's not the issue. But there is a further sanctification process that is taking place in the hearts and the lives of us men, because we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And there's a group of us men that are experiencing a lack of intimacy in our worship. In the presence of God. And the reason why is not that we're not saved. We are saved. We know we're saved. But there still is a separation. And so it is a separation of believers that we are being trying to be bumped out by evil things and evil ways. So the sanctification is God's will for the believer. It is God's will, men. It is God's will that we go through this Bible study. Because God is a jealous God, and He wants the whole heart of us men. He wants our whole heart. He doesn't want a Wednesday night heart and a Sunday morning heart. He wants a Thursday afternoon. He wants a Friday night heart. He wants a Saturday morning heart. He wants our heart every day, 24 hours of every day of every year. And that's why we're going through this process. The sanctification is God's will for the believer and His purpose in calling us by the gospel. And it must be learned from God because He teaches it by His Word. And it must be pursued by the believer earnestly and undeviatingly. We cannot deviate from the course of action. Can I just tell you something, men? I know I'm directing a lot of this to the men, but you ladies, it's the same on your Thursday morning thing. I don't know exactly what y'all are going through and what you're talking about, but I know that there are things that I believe the heart of the women's leadership is to cause you women to be the women of God that God wants you to be. Just like He's trying to get us men to be the men of God that God wants us to be. And so in light of that, we cannot deviate from the course. So men, there's going to be some things that are going to start coming up. You mark my words, there will be some things start popping up on Friday night that you have to go to. And you're going to have to make a decision in that moment. What is more important to me? My relationship of being sanctified wholly unto God, or this event that's just popped up. And that's going to be a tough choice. So we have to pursue it earnestly and undeviatingly. Amen? Any comments or any questions so far on what we've been talking about? Yeah. Which is part of being set apart. Right. Right. And so the word picture here is, before we get saved, what are we? We're very unsanctified. We are unholy. We are unsaved. We are by our very nature. Right, Jamie? We're by our very nature, we are what? We're sinners. It's our nature. People are raising pigs in their houses. My daughter's one of them. Raising a pig in their house. They dote over them like a house cat or a puppy. I've been around a hog or two, and you when you turn a hog, have you ever been to the fair? You ever been to the 4-H booths at the Douglas County Fair? And them little girls up there, and they got their little pigs, and they're just so, and they paint their toenails, and they put little bows on them, and they do all this stuff. Amen. It's a pig. You turn your back on that sucker for 5 seconds, guess what? It's going to find some mud somewhere. It does not care that you just spent $10 on toenail polish. Because that's its nature. That's its nature. Our nature is a sin nature. Left unchecked, we will relish in sin, even after we're saved. Because it's our nature. We have to take on a new nature. We've got to walk. It's got to be our focus. Our focus has to be on Christ. And before we're saved, we're just living that. And then we get sanctified. We're set apart from that old sinful lifestyle. It will still try and jump on you, but we have to fight it off. We have to resist it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But again, church, you cannot just read the Word. You've got to study the Word. Because when you just hear the word resist, it's so much more than just saying, now stop it. Don't do that. Resist, when you study that word out, you'll come to find that that word means that it's a military term. You've got to take up arms and you've got to resist. I mean, you've got to fight that thing off. And so it becomes much more than just... Well, I'm afraid that sometimes we think because we're sanctified, the battle's over. Well, I've been sanctified. I've been set apart. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Yeah, and now you have a bullseye on you. So let's... any other comments or questions about any of this so far? Yes, sir. Yeah. What does Jesus say about that when he did that? What did he say? There was a principle behind sending them out two by two. If one falls in the ditch and he's by himself, he's just in the ditch. But if he's got someone with him, he's got someone there to help him get back up. Yeah. And he likens that to a cord. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. Amen? I'm glad you brought that up, Carl, because it's an important principle that let's look at what the Scripture says. One. Nope. Well, yes. But I'm talking about a spiritual application. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two, so there's a tenfold increase in just one more. One can put 1,000, two, 10,000. Three, I don't even know what that number is. But I'm just telling you, there's something about it. How many of you know that you'll do something together with somebody way before you'll do it by yourself? Amen? If I'm going to go rappel off some rock bluff, okay, chances are I ain't doing that by myself. Because I want, Tommy, to see, if something goes bad, I want Tommy to at least be able to see it. Yeah, it was bad. You should have seen. Tommy would be like, you should have seen what happened to him. It was bad. Pastor just bounced. He was bouncing down there. Bam, bam. It was bad. It's true. When we go out and knock on doors, how many of you know it's much more reassuring to have somebody knocking on the door there with you? I'm so glad you brought that up, Carl. Anybody else? Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. Because I don't read in Scripture anywhere where Jesus said, we're not doing that anymore.
Listen, if Jesus sent them out two by two, chances are we should do that too. For one thing, you have an extra level of accountability. Especially in the day and age we live now. Hey, hey. To be reckoned with. Right. Yeah. And we should be. We should be. So let's... do I even want to do it? Yeah. But there's just too much... Well, we're going to go ahead and get started because I just want to keep this ball rolling. I want to talk about basic points to cover in sharing your faith. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is baseline. It's just baseline. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, how come you're going to heaven? Well, because I'm a pretty good guy. Well, pretty good guys are going to hell. Right and left. Well, I haven't, I know good guys. I know some good guys and some good gals. I know some of them. Would do anything for you, give you the shirt off their back, but have no desire for any kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I got news for you. Unless something changes, according to the way I read the scripture, they're in trouble. Well, I don't know why I need Jesus in my life. Well, because of what it says in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul makes it very clear in this letter that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile when it comes to final judgment. Everybody has sinned. Every one of us. It doesn't matter what your lineage is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your social status. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. And what have you done with Him? So no one can share in the glory of God by virtue of their sinlessness, because we all are sinners. So if the law measures the distance between God and His creatures, then human righteousness is our attempt to bridge the distance by our own efforts. And what does the Bible say about our righteousness? It's filthy rags. Filthy rags. So Paul's correct. We fall short. But what is this glory of God that we do not, of God that we do not reach on our own? Well, the word glory is the Greek. In the Greek, it's doxes, and it's from which we derive our word doxology. And it refers to the wonderful and awe-inspiring but indescribable presence of God Himself. So we tend to think of glory in terms of brightness, but it's certainly way more than that. It is utter wholeness and completeness. You've heard me talk about my number one desire. What is my number one desire in a church service? Can anybody tell me? To see people saved, but there's something even more that I want. And that is to see the Shekinah glory, the manifest presence of God in these rafters, in this church. I want to see the cloud of the glory of God. Bam! I want to see that. And I promise you this, when that happens, and I'm believing God for it, there ain't nobody going to be the same. Ever. You can't be in that degree of the presence of God and not be changed. I mean, I don't care how righteous and religious or holy or whatever you think you are now. When that day happens, whoa! We'll be just like, on our face. Oh, God. Amen? Woo, what a day that's going to be. Listen, we tend to think of glory in terms of brightness, but it certainly is more than that. It is utter wholeness and completeness. Here's a one-liner for you to write down somewhere. Sin keeps us from the presence of God. Sin keeps us from the presence of God. What ought to catch our attention, church, is the fact that our common sinfulness keeps us from reaching the place that we were created to experience. Let me say that again because that was pretty deep. What ought to catch our attention, church, is the fact that our common sinfulness, our common sinfulness. I'm talking about just the everyday stuff. I'm not talking about the deep, dark, black stuff. I'm talking about just the common sinfulness. Keeps us from reaching the place that we were created to experience. Guys, that's why this Friday night thing is so important. Because until we get ourselves worked through this process of being shameful, and being, I can't tell anybody what I've done. I did on Friday night, and it was hard, and it hurt me. And I didn't want to have to do it, and I was crying, and it broke my heart because I didn't want to have to say some of the stuff that I said. But I did because I want to be set free, and I want to set the example. A leader will lead people, and people will come up underneath the leader. And so the leadership has got to do things that are uncomfortable. I'm not saying make stuff up, but I'm saying, listen, I can't expect you guys to go someplace that I won't lead you into. That's why I had to be the first one to open it up and to say those very hard and difficult kinds of things. We reach the place, when we get that stuff done, when we get walking through this process, we are going to begin to dwell in the place that we were created to experience in the glory of God. And when it happens, men, we will not be the same. One of the anticipations of faith in Jesus is that we will share fully in the glory of God. That's a great anticipation, but Mike, how you doing on that? Huh? Tommy, how you doing? Right? None of us are in that place that we ought to be. Why? Because we got junk. We've got junk. Ladies, I got... Here's your sign. You got some junk too. We've got junk in our lives, and until we clean it out. Every one of us. Sinning. Listen to me. Sinning confirms our status as sinners. And sin cuts us off from our holy God. Furthermore, sin leads to death because it disqualifies us from living with God, regardless of how great or small every sin might seem. Here's another great one-liner. Sins are deadly, but sinners can be forgiven. Sins are deadly, but sinners can be forgiven. And remember what it says in Romans 3:23. There is no distinction. We have all sinned. Whether you're a murderer or you're stealing penny bubblegum. It's sin. Sin defined is missing the mark. We all need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and it is through faith that we receive His salvation. Amen? I'm gonna stop right there because we're gonna start talking about some other things. Talking about the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23 and on and on and on. But listen, sin keeps us from the presence of God. I don't know of a believer anywhere that doesn't want to be in the presence of God. It's in the presence of God that demons tremble. They can't stay there. They cannot handle it. It's in the presence of God that healing takes place. Amen? I'll do the preaching. In His presence, Jamie, is the fullness of joy. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bone. This whole night, there have been people just laughing in this place. They're going to leave here healthier than when they came in. I believe that. I tell you, church, God is a good God. And you know what, Mike? He is not sitting in heaven with a club or a stick or a belt or a whip waiting for Tommy to mess up so that he can thump him on the head or tan his hide or any of that. He is up there, and He is doing everything He can to encourage us. That's why I think this men's thing is going to be so powerful, because he's beginning to see, aha, my guys are starting to get it. They're starting to come around. They're starting to get some things dealt with and taken care of. And I'm going to release my glory. I'm going to release my glory in that congregation. And when that happens, Glenn, you better get your belt put on, because we're going to have to do some serious building. You know why? Because when the presence of God shows up, people are going to come. They're going to come. I think the reason why we're experiencing great growth right now. I believe that with all my heart. We're experiencing great growth. But we are not experiencing exponential growth that we're going to experience when we get it right. And when we get it right, by saying we get it right, that means that church, you have to realize this. Me and Tammy, we ain't nowhere near good enough to lead 200 or 300 people. You know what happens when a leader reaches his leadership capacity? Pardon me? But what happens if he doesn't have anybody to delegate to? Pardon me? He gets burned out and the growth stops. Because God has only wired me to lead so far. And then I need Tommy's to come along behind me, and Mike's and Carl's and Bob's to come along beside me and behind me and say, hey, I'm going to take on this, and I'm going to take on this, and Tammy's going to need Susie's and Janice's and Jamie's and Glenda's and different ones that say, well, we're going to head this up, and we're going to get the vision, and we're going to begin to watch this thing grow, and you go ahead and do whatever you got to do, but I'm going to take on this, and I'm going to take on, and then the church begins to, delegation is a powerful word.
It's a powerful word. And that's the only way the church will grow. And so just understand, as we grow, there's going to have to be some adjustments. Amen? Listen, I shouldn't be preaching every Sunday and Wednesday and Saturday and doing all the funerals and the weddings. I'm not the only one with a voice. Right, Fred? That was pretty quiet. Right, Bob? Right, Tom? Listen. God loves us. And as your pastor, I speak for Tammy too. It's exciting to watch what God's doing. God is bringing people in. And He's raising people up. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. Men and ladies. As you ladies begin to delve into some of the deeper emotional things that you face in your lives, it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful when you begin to open up and you know, maybe even rip open some of those sores that you've been protecting for all these years. Healing's going to begin to take place. Guys, when we get to the place where we realize we ain't as macho as we think we are, I can be emotional. Jesus was emotional. You know I'm emotional. I'd cry at the drop of a hat. There are things in our lives that God wants to deal with. And when we deal with them, we are going to be fit for the Master's use. Amen? Hey, I want to thank you for watching tonight by way of the internet. I pray that everything that we've talked about here tonight in this house, it goes to you as well. Just because you're at home for whatever reason doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use you. He does want to use you. And He is empowering you and He is equipping you. God does not equip or call the equipped. He equips the called. And you're called. And I'm called. And so God wants to use you, and I want to encourage you, whatever you can do, if you can get to church, we'd love to have you here. Anyway, have a great rest of your day. Guys, thanks for being here. We love you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Your word is so challenging. It is so convicting. It is so compelling, Lord. It is your truth unleashed in our lives. And Father, I pray from the farthest away that this internet feed is reaching. I pray, God, that you would bring them in. That you would bring them in from the north and the south, the east and the west. God, that you would build your church, build your team. God, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And God, I thank you for it. I pray for a fantastic women's meeting tomorrow morning. I pray for a fantastic men's meeting on Friday night. I pray that we would have a fantastic weekend this weekend as we remember the fallen men and women that have died to give us the freedoms that we have as Americans that have lost their lives on foreign battlefields, lost their lives at home, gave their life that we would be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. God, help us to not forget the fallen this weekend. It's not about a barbecue. It's about men and women that gave their life fighting for this country. And I thank you for it. Give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. God bless you and good night.